take these lectionary scriptures, and there are three separate years. We're in year A, and I'm always just fascinated and appreciative of the choosing of scriptures and how they relate and draw us in to consider things during this season. And along with the Advent candles and the tradition behind that, there's deep richness here that we want to make sure we're getting a hold of. This morning, the story of the shepherds really encapsulates, there we go, today's scriptures. They were afraid. And Angel Kemp says, don't be afraid, because a child's going to be born. Emmanuel. That's the deal here. And this is fascinating. You know, and as we consider this time of waiting that Advent is and represents and draws us into, you know, we've talked several times of how do we wait? Why do we wait? What are we waiting for? What do we do while we're waiting? And part of waiting too is sometimes what we're waiting for may come unexpectedly in a way we're not really thinking about. And so then the question becomes, are you ready for what you're waiting for, even if it comes in a way that may be different or at a time that maybe you're not thinking about? You know, it'd be like, you know, anticipating a package coming to your, you know, front door, but what if it comes on a different day, or they knock on the back door, or they deliver to your work, whatever it may be. You'd be thinking and be ready and think, when it does come, will we open the door? Will we be ready, even if it is in an unexpected way? Now, the scriptures today, and we started off with that passage in Isaiah, talking about King Ahaz. Now, King Ahaz was the king of Judah at the time, and what's happening when Isaiah came to him was that Israel had joined forces with Syria and had come to Jerusalem to attack. And when Ahaz heard that Syria had joined Israel, he was terrified. He was absolutely terrified. And Isaiah came to him to assure him. But yet in that assurance, Ahaz, in his heart, refused to trust. Refused, says, no, he offered him a sign. He says, I will give you a sign. I want you to be reassured here. You know, and God speaks that to us all the time. He doesn't want us to be afraid, and he offers us. And like Ahaz, are we going to accept it? But Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to trust. Or trust myself. And it's odd. Why? Why would you refuse the comfort of God? You know, he offered him everything, but he said no. And then, in fact, right before the scripture today, there's an interesting thing that Isaiah said to Ahaz. And he said this: if you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And I read that this week. I'm like, wow, that is a message for us. If you're not going to be firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And so God says, hey, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Not what anybody was expecting. A virgin will give birth to a child. Very odd. And I know Jewish scholars from that time of Ahaz on have wondered, what does this mean? You know, was this fulfilled then? How is it going to be fulfilled? Very odd. But we see in that promise that, one, God's promises are often given when fear is at its loudest. When we're at our peak of fear and being afraid, God wants us. God wants to be Emmanuel for us now. And so he gives us that. It's a lot like if a young child has to go in for a surgery. You know, you're 6, 7 years old. That's very scary. the child is focusing on fear, right? They're going to be afraid. They're not going to be thinking about much else. But if a parent comes alongside and just grabs their hand and says, I'm with you. I will be with you. That is what we want to have. And it doesn't change the circumstance. The surgery is still coming. There's still all the issues there. But there's something very significant and comforting in just presence of someone there with you. Advent reminds us of this promise of God's presence, that He is with us. The psalm reading kind of draws our attention to this crying out that we do or sometimes don't do. This whole psalm is a psalm of lament. And in fact, if you look at the Psalms, there are more Psalms of lament than there are of praise. You know, I think we've lost something in our culture of positivity all the time, and that we lose that capacity to really lament and to be okay with lament. I think sometimes we may think that lament is a lack of faith. That to cry out to God in our pain and our fear, that somehow we are showing that we don't trust Him. And yet Scripture shows us that is not the case. You know, if there's a hurricane levels a city, and people come out and they see the destruction, and they're crying out, they're acknowledging just how bad it is, and crying out for help. We need help here. Who's going to help us clean this up? That's not a lack of faith or anything like that. It's just, this is how it is. And it's okay for us. I think sometimes it's necessary for us to honestly cry out to God, even in a little bit of anger or frustration. You know, it is one of those things they say, if you keep things bottled up, they'll just fester and hurt us in the long run. But God is okay. The cry in this psalm was, restore us, O God, restore us. Help us. And Advent, this season that we're celebrating now, gives us language and space to acknowledge our longing, to acknowledge our frustration, to acknowledge our fears, and to see the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. Waiting isn't passive. It's prayerful. It gives us that opportunity to seek God. You know, as much as I like being comfortable, and I do, much of my life is spent on doing things so that I can be comfortable, having a comfortable bed, having a comfortable car, you know, arranging my finances so that things are paid for. And I don't have to worry about those sorts of things, okay? And that's what we do, and that's okay. But I often think of the times that God has been closest to me, where I've sought Him with the most passion, have been in those times when I have not been comfortable. I read this morning that the old Powerball is up to $1.6 billion. Wow, right? And one can kind of, you know, play a little mind game and think, okay, what if, right? What if I got, and I won, $1.6 billion? I wouldn't have to worry about anything for the rest of my life, financially speaking, right? I would be taken care of. My children would be taken care of. My children's children could be taken care of. That's a lot of money. And I wouldn't have to worry at all. I wouldn't have to worry like I often do now. My debts would be paid. My kids' school would be taken care of. I could help them get a house. They would just pour out from there. It'd be great, wouldn't it? But I also think that I have a fear in that. If I passed on to my children just millions of dollars so that they wouldn't have to ever think about finances again for the rest of their lives, where would their faith be? Would they cry out to God in the same way? Would they be able to? And maybe they can. But I think it's harder. I think it's harder. And so this psalm gives us, again, that space to trust him in our fears, that coming alongside, that presence of Emmanuel. Advent teaches us to bring our brokenness into God's presence. And then the folks who put together these lectionary verses brings us to Romans 1. And Romans 1 works here, I think, to remind us of this fulfillment of Emmanuel. God fulfills his promise through a very specific way in Jesus Christ. You know, like I mentioned before, I can't imagine, you know, the Jewish scholars thinking about what this meant. And Paul here tells us what that meant. This promise of Emmanuel means Jesus and the purpose of it. Again, maybe not fulfilled in the same way, right? That not the Messiah that's going to conquer all, the Messiah who's going to come quietly, will live, will die, be buried, and will rise again. Fully God, fully human, and in his time. It's God's timing. And here the timing was perfect. Through all those hundreds and thousands of years of waiting, at the right time, this happened. Descended from David, according to the flesh, declared to be Son of God. Grace and peace flow from fulfilled promises. And in this promise being fulfilled in Christ, we can have that peace. We can have that comfort that he offers. We see here that God is never late, never rushed, never improvising. I just rewatched the Lord of the Rings movies. And there's one in there where the hobbit said to Gandalf, "You're late." And Gandalf says, "A wizard is never late. He always arrives just when he needs to be there." And that's what happens here. God came at the right time. And it gives us hope, because in our hanging on, in our fears, in our anxieties, when we are hopefully in a place of real lament and crying out to God, and we think we're at the bottom and we cannot hang on any longer, we can, because God has promised and he will be there at the right time. And we can trust that. Now, all of this brings us then to that figure in this story that we don't often talk about, and that's Joseph. You know? And really, this is kind of it for him. You know, we have this, we have him helping out, going to Egypt, coming back, and then that's it. But what little we know about him is wonderful. It's wonderful. And in him we see how then God comes to us. He comes to us through Jesus in obedient faith. That's the picture we have here. God spoke to Joseph. Joseph was a good man. We see that. But he was a man of his time, and in this scandalous pregnancy, thinking of his family, thinking about the community he lived in, wasn't going to make a big deal of it, but he was going to divorce Mary. He was. But God had other plans. And in this dream, he says, like he says to Ahaz, the parallels are amazing. He says to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." This is exactly as it should be. This is how it is planned. This is going to be great for you and for the world. And so Joseph had a hard choice. You know, we often may have hard choices in our lives with our faith and our integrity. Maybe at work, in a situation, maybe at school, where things are being said or rules are being bent or whatever it may be. And sometimes we may have to make a costly choice, a hard choice to do what's right, even if it is costing me money or job or even reputation. But we see in Joseph that he wakes up from this dream and he obeys. He says, okay. Doesn't give explanation. Doesn't need to defend it. By faith, he said, yes, I will do this. He names the child Jesus. He claims the call that God put upon him. And it reminds us that sometimes, I think maybe oftentimes, faithful obedience happens when no one's watching. It's our own hearts. It's even just a choice in thinking and obeying in the moment. And Joseph shows us that call and that fulfillment that comes to us in faithful obedience. And the thing to keep in mind here is that idea that God with us, that Emmanuel, changes everything. It changes everything for us. You know, that song, I was struck this morning as we were singing that song, Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. It's not this distant, okay, he's here, he's around, in us. And that's the thing we can hang on to here. Yes, he came and was with us in human form. And he showed us the way. He lived that life. And he showed us how to be really human as we're meant to be. But the great thing was that after he left, that presence wasn't gone. In fact, it was better. That God chose to give us his Holy Spirit, that God could be not just around us, but in us, literally within us, that presence of comfort and help and assurance. Now, God may not remove every problem, every shadow, every situation, but his presence in us is always there. It's always there to help us walk through them. And we're never alone. Never. God chooses nearness over distance. He wants to be with us. He wants us to experience him. We see that God works and chooses and enters through vulnerability, not power. He wants us to be in a place where we have to trust him. We see that in the season of Advent, coming into this time of Jesus' birth, that God stays present in our waiting. That as we're waiting, he is with us. In this we see God's presence transforms fear into trust. That is what Advent is trying to tell us. Trust him. Trust him. He's with you. He's with you. He is with you. You know, when that package comes to the door, the doorbell finally rings, when the waiting ends, the choice still remains. Do we open the door or stay behind it? If the doorbell rings that package and we're busy, I'm cooking dinner. I can't go to the door right now. Oh, I'm up on the roof fixing it right now. I can't come to the door right now. I'm sleeping. Come back later. I can't come to the door right now. So even when the promise is fulfilled, we still have that choice. And Advent and these candles and all these songs ask us the question, will we open the door? Have you opened the door? Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And asks us to open to him. Will we respond with obedient faith. Advent gives us that same invitation. Will we welcome God with us? Will we live as people that God is with us, in us? Will people out there, those who are desperately lamenting without hope, can they see that hope in us? I would ask you today, where in your lives right now, maybe you thought of something, where is God asking you to trust Him today? Where are there fears that you are maybe experiencing now? Are there doubts, concerns? And if you can pinpoint those things, and, well, they're there. Advent invites us to take that faithful step of obedience and trust Him. Just trust Him that He will be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand together. And you can turn in your hymnal if you wish to number 153.